This podcast is sponsored by Safe House Rehab Thailand, the premier drug and alcohol rehab dedicated to enhancing the science of recovery. First, a plug for my sponsor, who has given me the opportunity to help the families and loved ones of alcoholics and addicts better understand the nature of the disease and what they can and shouldn't do about it, shouldn't try to do about it. We say in our podcast and blog that our primary goal is to help you make an informed decision at this critical stage of your life. Safe House Rehab Thailand represents the modern approach to recovery, founded on safety, which is why we absolutely outperform traditional rehabs when it comes to intake and detox, technology, and aftercare. To learn more about our modern, advanced approach to recovery, we invite you to visit safehouserehab.com or send your questions and comments to info@safehouserehab.com. So Adam, as Tony was saying earlier, it's really about the process. And one of the questions that we had of you, I certainly did, was the whole concept of staying in today and how in early recovery, what we're taught is to take one day at a time, because if we try to say stay sober forever, it's too much of a burden. Do you want to talk about staying in the day and one day at a time, and then we'll go on to another topic?
I sort of call it, there's different variations on it, just for today,
just
one
for
day,
today.
One day at a time.
Right.
Initially, I'll be honest, it used to really frustrate me.
Okay.
Because I couldn't grab my head around it.
Okay.
My head was always like a hamster wheel. It was living in the past or it was living in the future.
Got it.
I wouldn't be able to focus on what was in front of me. Yeah, I was here in the now, but...
But not fully.
So what I was doing, there was always something attached to it. And
okay.
That attachment that I would put on it would either be the past influencing the present or the future influencing the present, which would affect the way that I felt about the present.
Okay.
And I'd be listening to, just taking on that concept. So what it ultimately staying in the here and now meant for me was that I needed to keep at my recovery, no
okay.
matter what. So in the beginning, it was just don't pick up. Don't pick up another drink. Don't pick up another drug. From that, and no matter how I felt, that's how I would focus on that. In process of doing that and the 12-step process, I would understand that, number one, I was powerless over it. So that allowed me to stay present. It would allow me not to take that first drink or a drug. But I would have all these feelings around it. I'd be discontent, irritable, discontent, frustrated. So I wasn't satisfied or content with where I was at. And as I went through the process, I came on to this sort of step two, which was coming to believe that I could release myself from all that, those feelings of the obsession and the compulsion of the past, the future, to bring in sort of a higher power concept into my life. And what this higher power concept, I think, is it belongs to each individual. And that's what's beautiful, is that we don't impose our own way onto each other.
Brilliant.
And bringing in the higher power concept into my life allowed me to understand that I have a better way to live. So this whole recovery process shows me a better way to live. And that started off with understanding that I can live in the here and the now, in the just for today, because that is what matters. So I have, as an example, I'm feeling a certain way, and it's okay to feel that way. It doesn't need to necessarily affect my future, or I don't need to bring the past in to make it worse or better.
Mm-hmm.
And then go and, ultimately it would lead me to going and doing drugs. And wanting to change the way that I felt or mask it in some form.
Can I ask you something? Many, many of us feel this urgency for the next thing, right?
Mm.
So I'd be sitting at a bar and I go like, what's the next thing? Right, what's the next thing? Or I feel driven by a sense of urgency for something, right? So does staying in the day help you stay in the moment and kind of dissipate this urgency to go do something now that's different than what you're doing currently?
Yeah, that's actually really, really, really thanks for that. It sort of jogged my memory onto that. Yeah, it dissipated that immediate need for instant gratification, as we call it.
All right.
So let's say I was upset by something, like I previously said, anger was one of my things, and actually anger has become one of my enjoyments as well. Okay. I like it, but I don't like it. My body is used to it. My mind is used to it. The way that I behave is used to it. So I have to take contrary action to what I'm used to. And that contrary action, I'm staying in the day. Okay, I get angry and I realize that I don't need to act out right here, right now. I can accept the situation as it is and see what tomorrow brings. It's actually now works sometimes in the minute, or so I don't need to see all the way till tomorrow, because the experience and the practice gets better and better, that I'm able to calm myself and accept situations. So acceptance is a very big part of understanding the here and the now, knowing that the situation is the way it is. And I still into it, I'd say actually about a month and a half ago, and I had a very big craving to go and have a drink, and it's become far and few in between. In the first year, there was a lot. In the first few months, it was nearly every day. But I stuck at it by that saying. It's just saying, okay, first thing is just stay in the day, to know that I can stay clean, no matter what. Sort of white-knuckling it for the first... That was my experience for the first few months. But I had to have something different, and that's where I shared earlier on. 6 months in, I attempted to do a 12-step program. And that really took me to a new level, because it allowed me to see the past, admit that I do have a problem. And the problem being is that I now say that I am an addict. And drugs and alcohol is a big part of that. Yeah, for me now, that ties into the guilt and shame process, which I'm dealing with now. And yeah, it's okay to be, it's okay. In the sense of that, not to behave the way that I used to behave, but what I did, I did. But now I can take responsibility for my life. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I completely agree with, you know, that what you mentioned there, Bruno, with the erratic thinking, and that is part of the obsession, that is part of the compulsion. There's guilt and there's shame. Those are things, I mean, it's important to remember, we are still human beings. We are not perfect, and these are natural things that we feel and that we think about, perhaps a little on the more side by some categorized in that area of addiction or alcohol and substance misuse due to our patterns of thinking. However, keeping it in the day is essentially, again, it's a coping mechanism which works very well, because we can handle the guilt, the obsession, the feelings, the emotions that are in the day. That's something we can handle. And you're not overcomplicating things. Whereas if you're living with this guilt and shame and obsession and constantly burdening it over you, you know, thinking too far in the future, thinking in the past, you're complicating something that you don't need to complicate. And it's a matter of, again, we'll go back to the very primary part of the recovery process. Mm. And it's about learning how to, you're always going to be learning on one thing further. And the beauty of all of this is that each individual will then later reflect this for themselves. It's like we hear it in the rooms, you hear it from other people at the beginning. No, I don't know. Well, okay. However, when it really starts to sink in is when you can actually, it clicks for you. You know, people say you have that snap moment, or I get it, or something changed for me. Everything just changed. There isn't a place in time where that does happen, but everyone understands it when they understand it. And it's a learning curve, and again, it's completely and utterly based on your journey, which is individual.
What were some of your aha moments, Adam?
Honestly, I'd have to say it was, yeah, the very first one I do remember was in the rehab that I attended. Was someone said to me, it's none of my business what someone else thinks of me.
Okay.
It has been said to me.
Okay, definitely an aha.
Yeah, it took me about 3 weeks before, and one day I was just sitting there, and it hit me what he had said to me and what it meant. And I was so self-conscious
right.
of what others perceived me as. And that ties in. Now I understand 2 years later on is that I didn't have a sense of belonging. There was this feelings of guilt and shame. And there's a lot more, this obsession and compulsion, like you were talking about, Tony, was tied into that. This obsession and compulsion, for me, partly, I mean, it's greater than what I can say now, it was for me to mask the wrong that I was doing. And the wrong, okay, meaning that it was the wrong for me, it was the right action that I need to take for myself. Like, quite often, so that our first aha moment being, it's none of my business what someone else thinks, right, of me, we also relate that with people pleasing. So right, I sometimes would do actions because I thought that was, I was a mind reader, by the way, before, so I thought that other person or people wanted me to behave in a certain way.
Right.
So, for example, when I'm sitting around in a bar or sitting with my friends, and those friends are in quotation marks back then, I've changed people, places and things all from, right, my past to live a better way, was that I needed to behave in a certain way, okay, to show this image.
Does that take you to becoming a more authentic and genuine human being?
I'm finding out who I am, what I like, and learning to enjoy life. So a few days ago was my 2 years continuous clean time in sobriety, and I've been reflecting, doing a lot of reflecting, which has happened naturally, and I haven't really stopped sort of smiling in the last few days. And for me, I never smiled before. I was never happy. I could laugh, but there was always sort of this underlining sadness to that, because that underlying sadness was the alcohol, that I had to go back to the alcohol and drugs. Whether I would be excited, I needed them to influence my life.
Okay.
That's the way that I believe that.
Okay.
And now, in the last few days, I have been free and genuine to the best of my ability as, okay, I am now.
Okay.
And something that, Tony, you just touched on earlier was the idea of it's a learning process. And what were you talking about before, like recovery taking its course, learning to live life on life's terms,
okay,
with other people. I'll give you a simple example. And I had to take a hire car, so got the hire car the next day. The battery, it just didn't start. The car didn't start. So I said, all right, fair enough. In the past, that would have really made me angry. I've just hired a car, it's their fault, they should have paid money, all of this. But no, I thought, okay, well, what can I do? Luckily, someone drove by. I jump-started the car. And then from jump-starting the car, the battery went again. What I'm trying to say is that situation occurred, whereas in the past that would have made me angry. I would have been bitter towards the hire car company. I would have wanted to get my way, and it would have been a great excuse. Okay, car's not working, let me head over to the bar and go and do some, sure, drugs. Yeah, yeah, free time. Any excuse. And this time it was just, okay, it happened. Let me deal with it.
Acceptance.
Yeah, it was just such a simple acceptance. It's such a simple thing. Yeah.
So we're going to try to wrap up here a little bit. I guess the question then is, what are the main lessons you've learned with respect to not only not drinking, but also living a genuine life?
I think that it's not one individual thing. I think there's an awful lot in there. However, an easy way of summing it up is, I was blind, but now I see. Doesn't mean I can see very well, but I can see. I think if I'm willing to accept the help, after that, it is a matter of learning, understanding, and changing, and just allowing for that and trusting for that process to happen. And I don't have any hesitation in telling anyone that if you follow the guidance, if you receive the right guidance in order to do all this, really commit to it. Throw your cards down and just say, look, I'm willing to take whatever it is that you, because you need to be guided on this. If you're prepared and willing to do that, things will get better and things will change permanently.
Yeah. I think that was really well put. Yeah, Tony. I'm still going through the process. So for me, it's coming to understand it, and it's becoming part of me, the process. As you just said, when you've sort of described it for yourself, say that's quite similar to myself. I have to first have this sort of acceptance and this surrender to the situation.
So you're still, and this is all good, right? Yeah. This is all part of the development. You're still internalizing a lot of your learning. Is that what's going on as you see it?
Yeah.
Making it more intuitive. I know that in my early recovery, I had to think about what the next right thing was. Over time, it becomes more intuitive. Are you feeling that change happening?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it goes back to your thing about keep it in the day. Sometimes keeping it in the day is not doing anything because that intuitiveness is being developed.
Okay, perfect.
Through practice, whereas, yeah, in the past I have intuitions that were centered around my obsession and compulsion to get drugs, whereas now it's centered around wanting a better way to live. Okay. So why I do this day in, day out is because what stands out to me the most is it's a better way to live.
Okay, perfect. Tune in next week for the next episode of Busting Addiction and Its Myths, where we now have our weekly episodes titled by topic for you to search and download at your leisure, all in the interest of busting some myths and bringing you the truth about the face of addiction and alcoholism today.